Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Montigli. It is Tuesday, June the 23rd. Summer kicked in this Sunday night. Father's Day, hope everybody. I'm going to give a belated shout out to all the fathers out there celebrating their day on Sunday. Of course, they had a day off from NASCAR Sprint Cup racing, so as the Sprint Cup Series had their off weekend before heading out to Sonoma, California for the first road course of the year. And as far as I can remember, this might be I know they used to have Mother's Day off, and since they went to a night race Saturday night on Mother's Day weekend, that afforded them to race that weekend without racing on Mother's Day, which was a NASCAR tradition of having off. So, but this year somehow things worked out that Father's Day they were off this week as they get ready to cruise into the last part of the season. You know, I was looking at the schedule and they have so many off days the first part of the year that when you get to Daytona next weekend, that doesn't look like they have any days off from, except late August between the early Bristol night race on the 22nd and the Bojangles Southern 500, which is Labor Day weekend. And then straight on through that, that's the last off day until the end of the season, because you figure the 6th is the Southern 500 at Darlington, where it belongs. On the weekend, it belongs there. I remember they had moved the Southern 500 and made it an early race at Darlington to make room for Auto Club Speedway at Fontana when they had two races there. Well, they shortened that season to one because of the crowds weren't as big as some of the other tracks. Figure that's Hollywood area, and you know, you get a few celebrities out there, but I don't think Californians would like to sit out in the sun in the summertime for a day race. If you ran it at night, you might have had a bigger crowd. All the way down through the chase that from, I guess, September the is no off days. You would think they would have an off day right between Richmond and Chicagoland. Like, have this Richmond at the night race, the last race before the chase, and then have a week off there, and then go into the chase that way. Season will wind up on November 22nd. So, let's get some of those TV ratings in. You figure if every weekend's on, NBC pretty much has the we'll have the coverage starting at Daytona. This used to be TNT's area, and they would pick it up from, I guess, just after Dover to, they'd have six races, and then ESPN would take over at the Brickyard. But I guess Comcast wanted their own Daytona race, so they got the Coke Zero 400. And that'll be in a few weeks. Actually, a week. Next week's race will be Fox Sports 1 I should say this weekend's race, Fox Sports 1 at 3 o'clock on Sunday. They can run that on a Saturday, neither here nor there. So there's a look at the schedule. That Xfinity race is coming up. They'll be running. They were Chicagoland this past weekend. The Truck Series was in Iowa. NHRA was in Bristol. There was some racing that was going around. So, but the next up for the Infinity, we'll get to what happened there in a little bit. And will be at Daytona. So the Xfinity Series will be off until Daytona. But they don't run as many races anyway as the Cup Series. And then the Truck Series, well, they only run 25 races a year. They ran Iowa on Friday night, and they will be off until Kentucky in July. 2 weeks from now, in action on Fox Sports 1. It will be a 7:30 p.m. race under the lights. So it should be a fun one to watch. Truck Series, always fun to watch. We'll have coverage of that as well. So, well, we might as well start out. ARCA was in action this weekend. I forgot about ARCA. They were at Chicagoland as well for the Scott 150. And we have another sixth in a row first-time winner in the ARCA Series, Ryan Reed, getting some seat time there. He was getting, just for the Xfinity race, which was supposed to air Saturday night, but got postponed because it got rained out. So that worked out for him in a way, because he was able to win and then go on to another race. Grant Enfinger, who was the points leader, still holding on to that spot. Second place finish for him. Will Kimmel, was third in the XL Ford. Matt Tift was fourth. Frank Kimmel, very Esther-related, it's his uncle. The champ drives for the 25 car this year, not running a full season, but was in Venerini Motorsports as far as the 25. Came home fifth. Matt Krasuski turned in a nice sixth place run, driving the 54 for Brian Keselowski, Brad's brother. Seventh was Josh Williams. It was Sarah Cornett-Ching, another top 10 for her. She's been doing pretty well. Has sole possession of sixth place in the points now, so we'll get to the point standings in a little bit, but we'll get her on. Because every time we have her on, she seems to do a click better. She did. She was the last car on the lead lap of the race. For somebody who's never been to these tracks, she's getting them figured out pretty good. Ninth was David Levine. Tenth was Tommy Hessert of Cherry Hill. This was my old neck of the woods up until 2012. And there's a couple old, give a shout out to all the people that run in the ARCA Series that were in the race for my old neck of the woods years. Another one, it's James Swanson from Clarksboro, New Jersey, which was, it was one of those towns I'd pass by on my way to Dover, off of Interstate 295. So, Cody Coughlin won the pole. Margin of victory, 6.293 seconds, only five cautions for 27 laps. 100-lap race. Figure quarter of the race was on the yellow. Time was an hour and 15 minutes. And the average speed was 114.06 miles an hour. Now they're running a different motor than NASCAR runs, and I think it's a 396 cubic inches because it's a race package that every car runs the same motor. And you had 3 liters, three lead changes. That was where Coughlin, he led the first four laps. Frank Kimmel led the next 25, and then Ryan Reed led the rest of the race. 26 for Kimmel and then 70 for Ryan Reed. That's how they have it broken down, actually. Don't worry, they make it so I don't have to do the math, though. Back to the points. Top 10 in points, Grant Enfinger leads that spot. Josh Williams, second place, 85 back. Third is Tommy Hessert from Cherry Hill. Austin Wayne Self is fourth. Fifth, David Levine. And sixth is Sarah Cornett-Ching. She broke the tie she had with seventh place, Beau LaMastis there. So she has a nice 45-point separation there. Matter of fact, it was even in the race. Let me take a look. That might have a lot to do with it. Beau LaMastis. Yes, he finished 17th, so. ARCA's points are a little different than NASCAR, so that's why the gap. But Sarah has exactly 200 points to make up to get the fifth. And next race up for the ARCA series will be next Sunday. Hers Chase the Taste 200 at Winchester Speedway. World's fastest half mile. That's interesting. I thought that was Bristol, but that will be held in trying to find out where Winchester Speedway is. Indiana. Winchester, Indiana. For those of you, because I don't remember there being one that they ran at in Winchester, Virginia. On to the NHRA, the Thunder Valley Nationals, were held. If you want to give me a call, the number is 646-649-1899. Be happy to take your call. And we could talk about the race. That's all NASCAR was fixing the races. Tell me what you think. Did you see that? Think of these for someone who's running away with the yet a commanding lead, led most of the laps, outcome of caution, and Jeff Gordon wound up winning the race. Do you think NASCAR is throwing these cautions deliberately? Or do you think that, I know some of them seem a little sketchy because you're a caution for debris and then you're trying to figure it out. But in the NHRA, well, anybody catch the drags? They actually aired it at 3 o'clock on Sunday, the elimination. So didn't have to fight in the middle of the night for it all. Fuel division, Richie Crampton, who was on the show a little while ago, wound up beating Larry Dixon. Larry Dixon's been finding some consistency the past couple races, so he's a former champ when he drove for a few different teams, the last being Allen Abbey Racing, which is now Allen Johnson Racer, which fielded Sean Langdon and Khalid Belushi promptly up and left at the end of last season. So then Dixon got was out of a ride because I think it was him and I forget who. I think it was Del Worsham drove with him, and then it was Langdon and Al Belushi for a couple of years, and now it's just Sean Langdon. He won the championship with them, and now they lost a lot of oil money from the sheiks in the Mideast. So that's where they had the Qatar or Qatar, depends on how you want to pronounce it, on the back of the wing there. So that changes the makeup of the team. But anyway, number one qualifier for the weekend was Tony Schumacher. Sarge made it through the first round against Troy Buff and then broke. But Dixon's route came through Clay Milliken in round one, and then they faced in round two. Slower reaction time for Leah. She turned a 4.24 to Dixon's 3.93. Gave him the win. And then Dixon went up against J.R. Todd in the semifinals and turned a 3.9 to Todd's 5.3. So, you know, he smoked the tires there. And then Crampton took out Antron Brown in round one. He had a little stiffer road to hoe. And then Sean Langdon in round two. Kalita in round three. And then turned a 3.88. To Dixon's 4.00 to take the win there. T for the weekend was Tony Schumacher in the qualifying. He turned a 3.74 with a 5. That's fast. The top speed, though, went to Larry Dixon with a 3.31.04 miles an hour. And that's at 1,000 feet, too, so that's fast and that's quick. They used to run quarter mile until a few years ago in, at Englishtown when Eric Medlin was killed, so they shortened it up for safety. And he drove the funny car. And in the funny car division, it was Matt Hagen and versus Ron Capps in the final. The lowest DT of the weekend, the number one qualifier was John Force. He came into round one with high hopes there off his win at Epping, New Hampshire last week. But it wasn't to be, as he went out in the second round against the eventual finalist, Ronnie Capps. Capps, on his road to the finals, went up against Robert Hite in round one, John Force in round two, and then Tony Pedregon in the semifinals before facing Matt Hagen. And then Hagen went through Jeff Deal in round one, Cruz Pedregon in round two, Jack Beckman in the semifinals. And then there's a battle of the teammates between, actually wasn't teammates, Hagen drives a Toyota. It was between Hagen and Capps, and the quicker reaction time by Hagen gave him a slight advantage when he turned a 4.16 to Ron Capps' 4.18 to Wally and get the win in the funny car division. Tough day for the ladies in funny car. Alexis DeJoria qualified fifth, lost round one to Tony Pedregon. Courtney Force lost to Cruz Pedregon in round one. She qualified seventh. In the pro stock division, it's a division I'm keeping an eye out. Turned out to be, after a couple of off weeks, Erica Ender-Stevens wound up in the finals against Chris McGahey. The lowest ET of the weekend was for Ender. She qualified number one. McGehee, he qualified third, so he wasn't too far behind in the time, but it took a little while there. The best reaction time this weekend was Larry Morgan with a 006 off the tree, which is darn good. And then the top speed of the weekend was Shane Gray with a 207.82 miles an hour. And I guess about 500-600 horsepower, regular carbureted motors, about 500 cubic inches. So Enders went up against John Gaydos Jr. in round one on her road to the finals, and then faced off against Jason Lyne, who fouled. Maybe you get a minus reaction time. That's what happens on the thing. And then Shane Gray in the semifinals. And then McGehee's route went through Kenny Delto. And then he faced off against Vincent Nobile, whose first round win came against Richie Stevens, who's Erica Enders' husband. So he drives for a different team, though, so. He's getting some seat time now. Of course, you have to get some sponsorship going. We had Erica on. She was talking about that because Richie used to be with Elite. And then I guess he had a ride. He got into a couple of races and then moved on to another team to where he can get some time. But the McGehee, after dispatching Nobile, went up against Jonathan Gray, who fouled out. Another guy who it's usually quick on the reaction time, but just a little too early. And then he went up against Erica Enders. She had an 0.25 reaction. He had an 0.55 reaction. Her time was a 6.68 with a 5, and McGehee was a 6.68 with a 9. That's what you call a photo finish there. Four 1/1000ths of a second. That isn't much of a distance. Another win for her. I think she has 3 or 4. She's really knocking them down. I think I'm going to, next time we have her, next time I want to count up her wins for the year so far. And I'll tell you, once she has broke the barrier of being the first winner in pro stock for a female to becoming the first female pro stock champ, she's in the thick of it and getting event wins pretty good. So go check the points out for the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. It's Antron Brown, still the leader in Top Fuel, with Tony Schumacher 2 points back. Richie Crampton with his win creeps into, stays in third, but closes the gap. Fourth, Larry Dixon. Fifth, Spencer Massey. Sixth, Doug Kalita. Seventh, Sean Langdon. Brittany Force is eighth. Ninth, J.R. Todd. Tenth is Clay Milliken. Now, the thing about Brittany is she went from the Ford Power to a Power. And, of course, they built their own dragster there, and for some of the other teams buy one. So in the funny car division, it was Matt Hagen leading the points, 87. No changes in the top 10 anyway. Let me just point that out now so I don't have to notice thing. Matt Hagen leads Ron Capps by 87. Of course, that could have changed Sunday, if Caps had won, it would have been a 20-point. It would have been 20 points less because you get 20 pound, 20 point, 20 points. I would say pounds. 20 points for a round win. John Force is 30. He's 153 back. Second round out didn't help him. Del Worsham fourth. Beckman fifth. Seventh, sixth. Tommy Johnson Jr. Seventh, Cruz Pedregon. Eighth, Robert Height. Ninth, Alexis DeJoria. And 10th, Tim Wilkerson. Ender's back on top. I'm saying still on top, but I guess she got back there last week because she was in second. I could have swore she was still in second, but saved the points. But either way, she's in first place, 14 points over Greg Anderson. Jason Lyon is third. Chris McGahey, fourth. Fifth, Alan Johnson. Not the same Alan Johnson that owns Alan Johnson Racing that Sean Langdon drives for. It's another Alan Johnson. I think one of Alan Johnson spells it A-L-L-A-N, and the Pro Stock driver spells it A-L-L-E-N. Shane Gray is sixth. Drew Skillman, seventh. Eighth, Larry Morgan. Ninth, Vincent Nobile. And 10th, Roger Brogdon. If you want to know how the points are earned, here's how they do that. Winner gets 100 points. Runner-up, 80 points. Figure, 20 points per round. First-round loser gets 20. Second-round loser gets 40. And this is for all races except Indianapolis. Bonus points are awarded as follows. Low ET of each session is 3 points. Second quickest is 2 points. Third quickest is 1 point. So that's how NHRA points are earned. And there you have your top 10 in each of the three major categories. I would get into the bikes, but they don't run every week, so we'll leave it at that. When we come back, we're going to get into the Truck Series race and the Xfinity Series race, and we have some audio for that provided by NASCAR. So if it takes, we'll play it. We've had technical difficulties in the past, but we don't count on that. So we'll be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli.
Give me a call,
646-649-1899. Or you can Skype in if you're out of the country. I don't know how that works because I've never had to do that. But if you're on your computer and you have a Skype account, there's a little button, I think, on the Blog Talk Radio show page, it gives you a Skype connection now. So if you don't want to use the phone, use the Skype. There won't be a video call because of the Garage Talk Live studio here through Blog Talk Radio does not have a Skype-only line. It's basically a Skype phone call that comes into our switchboard, and it appears on my screen, and we set you in. So that's how that works. Leave you all with a little tidbit of behind the scenes of how production works at Blog Talk Radio. But anyway, the next one thing I didn't get to for the NHRA was the next event. So that will be coming up in 2 weeks at the Summit Motorsports Park in Norwalk, Ohio. So we'll be running their weekend even with on July the 5th, which coincides with the Coke Zero 400 weekend in Daytona. So, again, I'll be recording some of this stuff. So if you don't see an update on Garage Talk Live Facebook page, it's because I'm taping it all and watching it later, and I'll be ready for the show on Tuesday, and I'll be enjoying some of the festivities. Unless it's hot and gooey out, but I plan on we'll catch some fireworks somewhere and relax a little bit. Anybody in the New River Valley in Virginia or my area in Blaine County, if you think Whitfield is having their car show with a band, a concert, and then fireworks later on. I went to it last year. It was awesome. Get to see some antique cars, some classics, muscle cars as well, and then go catch a band in the park, at one park, and then head on over to another park where they launch the fireworks. So sounds like a fun weekend, so I'll have to give it a shot and check it out. But we have NHRA in action in a couple of weeks. Sprint Cup Series will be back in action this weekend at Sonoma. And as they gear up for the Coke Zero 600 the following weekend, which, let me see when they're actually running that race. July 5th, Sunday. At 7:40, Sunday night, no less. Okay. I guess they didn't want to run it actually on the 4th, because usually that would be a Saturday night race at night, but this time it's going to be a Sunday night race. So whatever you had planned, tape your shows so you can watch the race if you're going to watch the race, because there's some good shows on, like Bar Rescue and Next TV and Food Network Star and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, give us a call, 646-649-1899. Well, let's confirm my results. I know I had it in here. Okay, we'll just go back to that. In the Xfinity race, let's start at the Truck Series. I'll go to the Truck Series race. Eric Jones heading to the Iowa Speedway on Friday night, the 3/7-mile oval, 200 laps. Eric Jones took the number one spot, taking the checkered flag, starting from the pole. trying to find the stats on here. Okay, we'll have to do it this way. There we go. Taking a, he was a truck series rookie, running for points in the series. So he led three times for 112 of the 200 laps, dominated the race, and he was able to get the most bonus points there. Brandon Jones driving the number 33. Came home second. Tyler Reddick in the 19. Brad Keselowski. Ford was third. He started third as well. Fourth, Matt Crafton. Christopher Bell was fifth. Sixth, Tim Peters. Spencer Gallagher, seventh. Gallagher was running full-time in the Truck Series as a rookie this year. Is doing pretty well with GMS Racing. Eighth, Daniel Hemric. Ninth, that was Cole Custer. Tenth, John West Townley. Jennifer Jo Cobb. I always like to keep an eye on the lady driver. She's the only lady running this year. She was finished 21st. Maybe get her on the show. Maybe I can. She used to come on all the time, several years back. But due to the way she's engaged now and owns the team and has to do all the other stuff, the race was 200 laps. It took an hour and 48 minutes and 33 seconds. The average speed was 96.7 miles an hour and a margin of victory of 5.86 seconds. Looking at the points, we have Eric Jones and with his off of his win in the Truck Series is what he had to say, because then he had to get back and run the Xfinity race. Was going to be the next day, but it got rained out Saturday night, so they ran it on Sunday.
Okay, we'll go ahead and start with our race winner, Eric Jones, driver of the number 51 Toyota for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Eric is the winner of tonight's American Ethanol 200. We're also joined by his crew chief, Rudy. Eric, you've talked a lot about getting the monkey off your back this week. Tell us a little bit about your race tonight and finding your way into victory lane.
Yeah, the Special Olympics World Games Tundra was definitely good tonight. It seemed like the last few weeks, I guess last month, we've been so close. We've led a lot of laps and just haven't quite got to victory lane. So tonight was a good night to do it, and it felt good. And just excited to get the rest of the year going at this point. It seems like it took us a while to get here, but, you know, now that we're here, I think we'll keep reeling a few off.
Rudy, talk a little bit about the final pit stop and getting Eric in position for the win tonight.
Yeah, the guys had the best night on pit road all year. Good stops, only got beat by somebody taking two tires or no tires. So last pit stop just came in. Yeah, everything was perfect. So came out in third, and Eric had a really good restart with those guys with two tires. And we're leading by the second corner or third corner if it took that long.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions.
There you have the crew chief there. Second place, Brandon Jones. He was the what he had to say, the second place driver. Brendan Poole, I should say. Brandon Jones. Some of the dead air out, so I didn't. But they're waiting for the guy to come in. Either that or I hear background talk. Obviously, apparently the audio wasn't quite working for Brandon Jones, or they fixed it later, but I'm not going to sit here and run through the the mumbles and the dead air through that. So give us a call at 646-649-1899. And let's go to Xfinity Race. And guess what? This is no lie. The winner of that race was also Eric Jones. So he pulled a sweep this weekend, winning both the Truck Series race and the Owens Corning Attica 300 at Chicagoland. He led six times for 94 laps, 200 laps in Chicagoland. So he takes home two trophies that weekend. He's not running for points. He was driving the 54 that Kyle Busch normally runs. He actually filled in for Kyle while he was out. I guess Kyle taking the weekend off. Just running cup races until, I mean, after that injury, instead of running every race. Kyle back in the car did get the win last week, so I guess you figure a few, he was off this weekend, so might as well enjoy it. Maybe there was a new dad, it was Father's Day. Can you blame the guy, really? Let him enjoy his first actual Father's Day being a father, so. That worked out good for him, I guess. Ryan Blaney came home second in the number 22 Hertz Ford. Third, Austin Dillon in the 33. Fourth, Brendan Gaughan. Good run for him. A lot of the Xfinity regulars. I guess Austin riding around with younger brother Ty there, who's actually running for points. Family stays together, so they might as well race together. Was Austin running the Cup Series full time, is running for points there. So that was fourth was Brendan Gaughan. Fifth, Chris Buescher. Sixth, Ross Kenseth, who got his first ARCA Series win last week. Not this past weekend, the weekend before, the race before. Included in those, one of the, into those six first-time winners in the series. Not a bad job in the Xfinity running the 20 car, which is the car his dad usually runs in that series, and as well as the Cup Series as well. But Ross Kenseth subbing for Dad on Father's Day in the 20 car. Daniel Suarez was 7th. 8th, Brian Scott. 9th, Ty Dillon. 10th, Darrell Wallace Jr. Some of your points front runners. Finishing further down, the race lasted 2 hours, 31 minutes, and 30 seconds. The average speed was 118 miles an hour. And the margin of victory was 1.95 seconds. So, 2-second win. That's a pretty good stretch of real estate when you're on a racetrack between Eric Jones and Ryan Blaney. So, let's look at the points. Chris Buescher still leads the points. He's got a 19-point lead over. A 29-point lead. It's almost 30 points difference there. Over Ty Dillon, Chase Elliott. The defending champ is third. Fourth, Regan Smith, the guy he was battling for the championship last year, is fourth. Darrell Wallace Jr., fifth. Sixth, Elliott Sadler. Seventh, Brian Scott. Eighth, Brendan Gaughan. Ninth, Ryan Reed. And tenth is Daniel Suarez. If you want to. And here's a subplot for the big teams that don't have a regular driver, or sometimes they'll run a driver running for points and a second car for owner's championship. And it usually comes down to a battle between Penske and Gibbs in the Xfinity Series. Of course, the year Sam Hornish was second in the driver points chase and wound up losing to Austin Dillon, which I think Sam got screwed. The owner's championship came down between Penske and Gibbs, and Roger Penske, who fielded Sam Hornish Jr.'s cars, had Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano and A.J. Allmendinger filling in on the 22 car while they ran for owner's points. And this year, it's Roger Penske leading the owner's points by 30 over Jack Roush. But they don't have Kyle Busch driving the 54 car, and Gibbs doesn't have Busch driving the 54 car all that much since his injury. And then Childress is second in the third in the owner's points in the 33 car, which is actually the car Austin Dillon usually drives in the Xfinity Series when he goes back down. So that's for owner's points. And then Joe Gibbs has the 20 car for owner's points. That's the one being driven by two Kansas. And Childress has the three car in the fifth spot for owner's points. And then sixth is Hendrick. Seventh is Dale Jr. Eighth is Gibbs. This is Kelly Earnhardt Miller, which is Junior's brother, sister. She's listed as owner of the seven car. So that's how that works there. So there's an owner's title as well. And sometimes the one who gets the driver points isn't necessarily who gets the owner's points there. Well, let's hear from our race winner of the Xfinity Series. It's Eric Jones.
Hey, we're going to continue with our post-race media availability for today's Attica 300 here at Chicagoland Speedway, and we've now been joined by our race-winning team, Eric Jones, driver of the number 54 Monster Energy Toyota. He's also joined by the race-winning crew chief Chris Gale, and Steve D'Souza, who's the Vice President of Xfinity Series Operations for Joe Gibbs Racing. And Eric, we'll start with you. A little bit of a busy weekend for you. You might need to have another sip of water, right? Friday night, you started out in Iowa, and then after Camperwell Truck Series race, you were able to take home that victory. You flew here Saturday morning, able to qualify yesterday afternoon before the rains came, and then we're here today to take home your second victory of the weekend, which really is your third victory of the week if we count Berlin on Tuesday night. But you joked Tuesday night on social media that you finally felt like you had the monkey off your back. Little did you know, I think you did. But talk a little bit about the week and really just being able to really win Friday night in Iowa and then come here today and take home the victory as well.
Yeah, I was I was really excited about this week. Honestly, dating back to Gateway, I thought we had a shot to win Gateway Berlin here in Iowa. And unfortunately, Gateway didn't go how we wanted, but got the win at Berlin, got the win last night in Iowa, and then had a fantastic Monster Energy Camry today to go out here and and kind of top off the whole week. It's nice going in like this. We're going to an off week now, so I have the whole week kind of bask in this and take it in and get ready for the next one. But just an awesome week and pretty proud of everybody involved to keep pushing along from some of the races we've had over the last month. There's been a lot of hardship and just kind of a rough go at it for a while, but you know, we're back now and hopefully keep going.
And Chris, for you, had to win earlier in the year with Eric at Texas. You were able to take home the victory. That was the other team, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But you had to win last week in Michigan in the 54 with Kyle and then came here, you know, ultimately to win with Eric. You talked about how you wanted to win with Eric and some of the other drivers that have been in the 54 this year. Talk a little bit about that and just being able to come home and take home two back-to-back victories.
Yeah, two back-to-back victories is really cool. I think I talked last week about how the 54 team itself the last couple weeks has been getting better. I think if you look at the second place in Charlotte, we closed the gap to the 33 car there, and we're running more competitively. And then at Dover with Eric, you know, we led the most laps there and had a really good shot to win that race. And then kind of capped that off with winning with Kyle. But it's kind of assumed everybody just goes, well, Kyle's in the car. You should win. It's a 54 car with Kyle. No big deal. And I understand that Kyle's great. There's no comparison to most drivers out there. That's just another reason why I wanted to win without Kyle. I wanted to kind of put that statement out there and go, guess what? The 54 car can win with Kyle, without Kyle. It might win more with Kyle than some other guys, but Eric showed you today he can dominate the race and win in the same car.
And here is Chris Buescher, and actually we won't get to that because we're getting close to running out of time here. So there's your race winner and his winning crew chief. Chris Gale. So congratulations to Eric and makes a good point there. You want to win, of course you're going to win with Kyle, so going to win without Kyle. But as we go to Sonoma, we're looking at a totally different thing for the Cup Series or on the road for the one of the most intricate road courses of the two, Watkins Glen being the other, comes in August, but it's a little more refined. It's, you know, there's some sharp turns, and but there's not the amount of turns and what the S's and all that go on with Sonoma. It's a 110-lap race, so figure three things come into play. One, track position. Two, pitch strategy. Usually a road course, they'll break down into sections. So they want to, how many laps can they go before they have to pit? So they want to, A, keep that to as few pit stops as possible. Like, I think the Glen is 90 laps, so they'll cut it down to 30-lap segments for pitting. So that's whether it's yellow or green, because you can't lose a lap pitting under green on a road course. If you do something, you broke something. So a little change in the scenery this year at the road course. Marcus Ambrose, who usually dominates the road course before, I think all his wins came on the road course, either the Glen or Sonoma. And that wasn't too many, but still. He did win on the road course. He is not in the series this year. That number nine car being driven by Sam Hornish Jr. this season, who, no, he hasn't had too much luck. So maybe we can get him on and his finish. Seems like every time he came on, he always did better. So, and the last time we had him on was a couple years ago, and those weren't even live interviews. So I had to tape those ahead of time, usually about this time of day, so I could air it on Monday nights. But now that we're on this time of day, we might be able to get him on. Of course, I couldn't get him the last time because we were still on a Monday night, but we'll try again. Anyway, Chasers all finished in the top 10 last race, and except for Marcus Ambrose, and it might be the same this year. He was, because you have Edwards, Gordon, Earnhardt, McMurray, Menard, Casey Kane, Jimmy Johnson, like I said, Ambrose and Ace was the only one not in the chase, and then you had Greg Biffle and then Clint Bowyer. I think Bowyer missed a chase last year, or did he make it? I can't remember. 16 drivers. And that's something we'll look at, because this should change the complexity of some things anyway, because you're going to find some guys drive better on the road, pitch strategy will come into play, and we'll see what happens. So as far as the road course guys, I'm going to have to scope this out a little bit. But if you want to make a pick, you can still have a shot at it. You can give me a call at 646-649-1899, and I'll put you on. If not, you can go to our page and I'll post the picks there. So anyway, I think I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with somebody a little different. I'm going to go with, I think Gordon breaks the ice. I'll pick Jeffy Boy there to win on the road. So that's our show for today. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good afternoon. Enjoy the weekend. There should be some good racing. See you all next week. Bye-bye.